Hello, friends. Back again for more Distract and Disable. Show 21. That's right. Show 21. I suppose this means that the show is now of legal drinking age. I'm not sure if that's a good thing. Or not. In any case, today, I thought we would listen to some exciting synthesizer music. Hear about telekinesis in Russia. Learn how to fix your computer using crystals. Hear some Casio cleaning music, along with some other synth jams from Pierre-Henri and Avogadro's Avocado, a new hot synth duo. Blue would have wanted it this way.
Welcome to the first in a new series of guides to alternative computer maintenance. Many of us have computer problems. In a world filled with technology, even the most spiritual of us can't avoid these complicated machines. I'm going to show you how you can use pendulum dowsing to diagnose your IT problems and offer some treatments. Computers are filled with crystals and produce electromagnetic fields, much like an aura. We're going to use a crystal pendulum to channel that aura. We now ask the computer what is wrong, with the pendulum indicating the answer. Do you need a memory upgrade? As you can see, the pendulum is rotating. This means no. Has your software license expired? Again, no. Is the computer infected with a virus? As you can see, the pendulum now swings backwards and forwards. This indicates yes. It looks as if the computer is infected with a virus. There are a number of ways of curing this, including crystal healing, feng shui, aromatherapy. I've gone for the option of making this Native American style virus catcher. Sometimes, when the response isn't clear, you can charge your crystal pendulum with additional energy. Many people call upon the spirits, or God, or some other ethereal source. I prefer to use a powerful personality in the world of computing, so I calibrate my pendulum using this photo of Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft Corporation. Next week, making your computer more powerful by diluting it.
In this short video, I'm going to show you the proper use of one of the most common types of divining devices, the L-rod. The L-rod is usually made of metal and bent such that there is a handle and an indicator arm. The most important part about using divining rods is the proper handling. Begin by placing the top of the handle in the first crease of your top finger. Then gently rest the heel of the handle behind your small finger, allowing the rod to balance. The most important part about holding the divining rod is that the top finger here remain flat. That allows the rod to swing freely without causing unintended motion. Now, everybody's hand is sized and shaped somewhat differently, so do feel free to experiment with different kinds of ways to hold the rod that are comfortable for you, but always being mindful that the top of the finger must be straight and that the rod should be level to the ground or slightly dipped downward. If the rod dips upward, it will cause unintended motion. Once you have practiced holding the rods in each hand, the next step is to extend your arms. You'll want to extend out to arm's length because divining rods work better when they're farther from your body. The rod should be set at about 8 to 10 inches apart, and the rod should be level to the ground or dip slightly toward the ground. Here's another view of how you might be holding divining rods when you're holding them correctly. Notice how the tips are dipped slightly toward the ground, and that the tops of my first fingers are completely straight. And I notice also that I'm holding them at arm's length. That is the way to get the best results.
Now it's time to get started. With your rods held out in front of you, walk slowly forward. When the rods encounter water, they will cross each other. As I back away, they will become straight once again. In this simulation, I'm using a garden hose to simulate an underground buried pipe. Once you have bound the pipe with the two rods, try using a single rod. The one rod will always line up parallel with the underground pipe. This is a top view of what it would look like when you're searching for an underground water pipe. Notice how they cross when they get over the pipe. Now, using the single rod, we'll walk forward and find the direction of the travel of the pipe.
Well, I hope this short video has helped you understand the proper way to use the L rod. Now it's time for you to go outside and practice, for divining is something you can improve with practice. If you need a set of L rods, check us out at naturesprite.com, your source for handmade divining rods. Thank you, and have a divine day.
Thank you. Nina Kuligina, alias Nina Malikalova, was the Soviet Union's preeminent telekinetic medium. Her psychic feats were well documented by these home movies and captured by Russian scientists on the secret films you are about to see. By focusing her will upon a target object, Kuligina was able to move objects weighing as much as 1 pound with only the raw power of her mind. During these experiments, she claimed to feel a sharp pain in her spine, and scientists recorded her blood pressure racing up to 180 beats per minute, approximately 70 points higher than a runner during a race. Startled scientists suggested that in Kuligina's case, the electromagnetic energy normally emitted from the living tissue was greatly amplified. By placing her hands in close proximity to a target object, this energy field was actually able to move it.
She was taken to various laboratories throughout the Soviet Union to be measured, studied, researched, and the KGB was behind it, as far as I know.
Intrigued by their initial success with Kuligina, Soviet researchers decided to see what the limits of her powers were. They knew she could affect inanimate objects, but what about living tissue, like a beating heart? On March the 10th, 1970, Soviet researchers decided to put Kuligina to the test. She would attempt to alter the heartbeat of a frog. Simultaneously monitoring Kuligina and the animal's heart, they found that the powerful psychic could actually speed up and slow down its rhythm on command. This was a truly revolutionary breakthrough in parapsychology research. The discovery that telekinetic power could be used to affect the bioelectrical impulses of living tissue. And then, in a disturbing demonstration of her abilities, Kuligina successfully commanded the heart to stop beating. An impressive feat that no doubt drew the interest of agents in the KGB. Could such a power be used against human beings? If so, could it be trained as deadly instruments of the KGB? A psychiatrist from Leningrad decided to debunk the psychic himself. Under the supervision of Soviet researchers, the man's heart was linked to a heart monitor, and he was placed before Kuligina. As she concentrated on his heart, the man's steady rhythm began to change radically. Willing it to slow down, Kuligina forced the man's heart to a point approaching cardiac arrest. The researchers had to intervene to save his life. Ironically, it was a heart attack brought on by continuous mental strain that forced her into retirement. But the Soviets soon found her successor, an heir worthy of Kuligina's psychic crown. Alla Vinokurova, a telekinetic medium who proved herself to be Kuligina's equal in every way. With Kuligina's retirement, Vinokurova became the focus of the KGB's interest in telekinesis. In these films, smuggled out of the Soviet Union by Western researchers, Vinokurova demonstrated her remarkable telekinetic ability. With a wave of her hand, the target object is compelled to move. Guided by an invisible force, the object changes direction several times, totally responsive to her will. Researchers working with Vinogradova claim to be able to feel the electrostatic energy field left near the object after she had moved it. Flashlight bulbs placed near the test site would light up briefly, confirming the presence of this energy. The Soviets had their newest telekinetic medium, equally stunning in her abilities as her predecessor, the powerful Kuligina.
The KGB was interested in so-called telekinetic hits, actual destruction of enemies through the use of telekinesis, objects within their bodies, enemies' bodies. So definitely the KGB would be interested. How far they had achieved success, I do not know.
If the KGB used such psychics to conduct covert assassinations, they kept no records, and autopsies of heart attack victims would not reveal a telekinetic influence. But the prospect of such undetectable psychic warfare does give one pause to think.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure flies when you're having fun. I hope you enjoyed today's program, Distract and Disable 21. As always, you can reach Distract and Disable people like myself at www.distractanddisable.blogspot.com. If you like the internet as much as I do, you will visit this site. You could say it's a sort of portal into the mind of Glubanta and the rest of the staff here at Distract and Disable. please keep listening to Distract and Disable here on WGXC. And I will see you next time. Sort of.